God's good. Amen. And it's good to be here from Donaldsonville, huh? I don't even see how he says that. Amen. But it's so good for Mary and I to be here. It's good to be. We sung some this morning at 10:30. So if you wasn't here, come back Monday night through Thursday night and we'll sing some. If you don't mind, I'll just preach this morning. That'd be all right. Amen. Well, look over at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Say, well, he's back. Amen. I had a friend of mine one time said, you're just like a bad dream. You just keep coming back. Amen. And I tell you, I want to aggravate the devil till I lose my teeth, and then I want to gum him to death. Amen. And it's so good to see Brother Billy, Miss Regina, all the kids. I tell you, you treasure your friendships that you make. And if you don't, you should, because at any point in time, they could change. Amen. And so, I don't know about you, but the older I get, when I was a younger man, I didn't put as much emphasis on trying to just seize every moment. And, you know, you get things on your mind, you get things, agenda, but then you begin to turn a certain age. And I hate to say this, guys, I love Brother Barry and Brother Mitchell, but Mitchell been teaching Sunday school or teaching the Word of God here for 54 years. That's how old I am. Now, I was sitting there thinking about that. That's a long time to teach the Word of God. But what a blessing for somebody to lay not only an accolade to you, but it speaks of your testimony that you've lived for Jesus. Amen. And not everybody can say that. Some people get in for a while and then they get out. And for men to get in and stay in, what a testimony. Amen. And so we love you and appreciate you and appreciate these guys. And I got here yesterday and one of the first, of course, seen all the guys out there. They was doing the barbecue. And I went strolling through the kitchen over there and seen Trudy. Trudy was standing over there. She was waving. Sylvia was standing over there grinning. And I looked and Sylvia was putting together a banana pudding. And I love vanilla wafers. I'm telling you. You give me a jar of peanut butter and a box of vanilla wafers and a big glass of milk and I'll just make a hog out of myself. Amen. That brother's with me. And so I thought I'd just ease over there next to Sylvia and steal me a vanilla wafer. Yeah. She had them blessed things counted. Evidently, some of you've worked with her before, amen. And I got tickled. She slapped my hand, made me feel like my mama was here, amen. My mama used to do that and say, "Get out of my kitchen." And I mean now. But it's so good to see her. And if you know Miss Sylvia, you know she went through quite a health ordeal. Very similar to my mom. My heart is touched every time I see her. God's still on the throne, ain't he, folk? He's a good God. If you have your Bible today, take it and turn with us. And let's go over to the book of Psalms. And let's go to the 26th chapter of the book of Psalms is where we'll take our reading for today. I enjoyed last night. I slipped in, Brother Billy. Told me, he said, Brother Randy, he said, you can sing if you want to. And I said, no. I said, I'd rather just listen. And we sing all the time, preach all the time. Sometimes I just enjoy sitting down, just listening. And I enjoyed everybody that sung last night. And Sister Mary, she wasn't feeling good yesterday. And she told me after we got here and got set up, she said, don't nominate me for nothing. And I said, well, baby, what do you mean nominate? She said, I know how you are. Somebody say, you think Sister Mary would do this? And you'll say, why, sure she will. And she said, only place Mary's going is the couch. She said, you've about run me ragged, and this is my day of rest. And so if you didn't see her last night, it's because I'm afraid of her. But anyhow, Hey, one bad thing about being short, I have to look up in the nostrils about everything. Amen. Psalms 26, I tell you, I believe after a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepts him as his personal Savior or her personal Savior, I really believe personally that experience should remain fresh and alive in their heart. Amen? And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God's will that every one of us live a victorious Christian life. Would you agree with that? You say, well, Brother Randy, how do we do that? How do we stay on fire for God? And as they was handing these awards out, and I call it an award, and it's really an honorarium, what it is. But as they were doing that, I thought, man, it couldn't go no better with the message God's laid on my heart. You say, why is that? Because there's a lot of people today who come to church. Some come during revival time, and you never see them again until the next revival. I call that they get revivalitis. And as soon as revival is over, or the certain preacher that's coming in, whether it be a visiting preacher or another pastor who's come in to fill the pulpit to do revival, after that's over with, you don't see them again. I've got a problem with that. Amen. I believe that if we're really born again, children of God, we'll have a desire inside of us to be where God is. Amen. And Psalms 26 talks about that. And I preach out of an old King James Bible. I was just told about 4 weeks ago, they said, Brother Perry, you're a little narrow-minded, aren't you? And I said, what are you talking about? They said, you know, they do make newer translations of the Bible. And I said, I'm fully aware of that. I've got just about every translation that has been made because I like to see what's in them. Sometimes you talk about things that may be in a translation when it ain't there at all. And so how do you know unless you get one and study it? Amen? And so I've got all of those. And they told me, they said, you're pretty narrow-minded. And said, we thought you was a little more intellectual than to stay with one of those outdated Bibles. And I said, now hold on just a minute. I said, you guys say that the reason why you changed was because it's easier to read and comprehend. I said, now who's narrow-minded? I mean, to me, it takes a pretty broad mind to be able, dear friend, to read what we have as the closest, dear friend, that we have in our English language to the real manuscripts of the Word of God. And it takes a divine, dear friend, discernment to be able to discern what God's given us. Anybody can read a storybook. Amen. But I'm talking about reading a part of an organism. You get in this, it gets in you, and it changes you for the better. Amen. And so I read out of a King James Bible. This is homecoming, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I got to quit. I preached one time, I'll never forget as long as I live. Billy was talking about being down at Valdosta and at Bemis Road Baptist Church. He used to put a camp meeting on. And there used to be a preacher, and I loved him. I tell you, I just couldn't get enough of his preaching. His name was Eddie Goddard. And Eddie's preached here several times. And if you didn't like him, make sure you don't say that around me. Amen. I ain't big enough to hit you in the nose, but I'll knock your kneecap slap off. Amen. Now, I loved Eddie Goddard. And so me and Eddie was staying in the same room together, and it was my time to preach. And he says, and of course, he is a pretty one to talk about how long to preach, because he'd preach long too. But he looked at me and he says, now, little man, that's what he called me. He said, little man, he says, don't be half the night preaching tonight. I said, Brother Eddie, I said, help me out tonight. Would you do that? When my sister Libby with a quartet, when we first started singing, we'd be on these concerts. They'd give us a time limit. And I'd always tell my sister, I'd say, Libby, I said, when we get down to where we just got 5 minutes left, I said, I don't care what I'm doing, where I'm at. I said, you just speak right in that microphone. Hurry along, little brother, hurry along. And so I told Eddie that night, I said, Eddie, I've got a 4-point sermon. And I said, every 5 minutes, just say, hurry along, little brother, hurry along. Well, I forgot all about that. I got up and started preaching that night and got about midways in my first point. Oh, Eddie Goddard stood up and said, hurry along, little brother, hurry along. Shortest message I ever preached, amen. But Psalms 26 says this. Look at the first word. Now, mine's in bold italics. I don't know how yours is, but mine is. It says, judge me. But aren't you glad that there is a following statement after that, because there's a comma there right after me. Now, a lot of people would love to judge us and do judge us, but that's not what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says. He said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with disassemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Look at verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place wherein thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, and whose hands is mischief and their right hands is full of bribes. But as for me, everybody say me. As for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. If you've got your Bible open, would you read that with me one more time? My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. You say, Brother Randy, what are you going to preach on? I hope you don't do an expository message. These 12 verses, we'll be here a while. I'm not going to do an expository message, but what I'd like to go back is I'd like to go back to verse 1 and compare verse 1 to verse 12. If you look at verse 1, the Bible said, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. And as a result of that, look what he says. As a result of doing all the things above that, he says, I will not slide. How do you keep from sliding? Then verse 12, he says, because I have trusted in the Lord and walked with the Lord, and I've surrendered my way to his way, he said, my foot standeth in an even place. I began to think about that passage of scripture. When I was in high school, I was a wrestler. I played football and wrestled. I was a 3-time state wrestling champion in the 105-pound class in our high school. And one of the first things that our coach taught us, he said, to make it as a wrestler, he said, you got to have the right foundation. You got to have the right base, is what he said. And the first thing that he taught us was how to set up and get our stand. And listen, folks, if we're going to be people of God and we're going to make it and not slide, there are some essential things, dear friend, that we have to have as our basis, dear friend, to stand upon to keep us from drifting or sliding away. Look over at your neighbor and say, slip sliding away. I see y'all grinning so big you could lose a coat hanger. You've heard that before, ain't you? But that's what I want to talk about today. You say, how do we stay in a place to where we don't slip, slide away? How can we do that? Can I say this to you? First thing, if you want to stay right with God and not slide away or slip away, dear friend, the first thing we need to do is nail down the fact that we've really been saved. You say, what do you mean, that nail down the fact that you've really been saved? I began to think about this. Several people I've talked to, you can walk up to somebody and you can say, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Man, I've got this so many times, it ain't even funny. They'll look at you and the first thing they do when you ask them a personal question, they revert not to themselves, but they revert to somebody else. And they'll say, well, my daddy taught Sunday school. Or my mama sung in the choir. Or my grandpa was a preacher and he helped build a church. You see, and that's all good for your daddy, your mama, and your grandpa, but the truth of the matter is the question is a personal question that every one of us must answer. There's no one in this building today, including myself, that's going through the pearly gates riding the coattail of someone else. If we get to glory, dear friend, we'll go by the darling Lamb of God and we'll accept His blood that He shed for us at Calvary. Listen, we used to have a woman get up in our church. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. She would start, she'd say, I just got to say a word. Man, I'd listen, you know, I was just a kid. She'd say, I know that I know that I know. Boy, she'd draw another breath. She said, did y'all hear me? She said, I know that I know that I know. I'd look over at my mom and I'd say, what's she know? My mom would say, hush, she's a-fixing to tell you. Boy, when her little voice would articulate and it would just climb and keep climbing, and she'd keep saying, I said, I know that, I know that, I know. Buddy, when her little voice couldn't reach any higher, she said, I know that, I know that, I know that I have passed from death unto life, and my Redeemer liveth inside my heart. Can I tell you, this is a no-so way. It's not a hope-so. It's not a think-so. But if you're going to make it in life and not slip, slide away, you better nail down the fact that you've been to Calvary and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been saved. Amen. What did Paul tell us? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm glad, dear friend, we don't have to be ashamed if we know Him. Amen. You say, well, I don't really believe that there's a way that somebody can absolutely know that they're saved or not. Oh, really? Scripture begs to differ with you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, listen to what it says. It says, these things are written that ye may know. Know what? That ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen to what John 6 says. John 6 and verse 47, it says, he that believeth on me hath, H-A-T-H, everlasting life. That did. Listen, that hath is a present tense. Amen. It didn't say had it and lost it. Thank God there's too many of us doing that. That's called slip sliding away. Amen. But I'm glad the Bible said he that believeth on him, dear friend, ain't had it, ain't gonna have it, but we got it right now, dear friend. Hey, I can stand here today not afraid to face eternity, dear friend, and know that my feet are standing in the right place. Why? Because I'm based upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell can't prevail against what he's established. You say, well, you ain't got to shout about it. You ought to have seen me a-hollering at Georgia yesterday when they was a-flubbing up against Alabama. You say, is that all we got to do to keep from slip-sliding away is just nail down the fact we've been saved? No, that's just the first part of it. And the truth of the matter is, one of the reasons today in the church world, and listen, we're to have revival, but this is 108th celebration of this church. Did you know they wouldn't have been a Benson Grove Baptist Church if everybody in those eras had a slid away? Amen. Listen, there's some people believes if I just get saved, I can sit down and coast in. Hello. That's the very reason why we've got spiritual babies in the church today. Amen. They're still, dear friend, on the milk, and they ain't never got off the milk. You'll say, why? Dear friend, hey, salvation is the gift of God, and he gives it to whosoever will, let him come. And once we receive that wonderful gift of salvation, then there are some essential things that we must do on our part to keep our feet standing in an even place to where we won't slide and bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? You better walk in God's truth instead of your will and way. Amen. You say, what do you mean walk in God's truth? Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Man, listen. How many of you remember when you got saved? Truth of the matter is, you're a new creature. Now you're a babe in Christ Jesus. But how many of you know, dear friend, that a baby can't take milk the rest of its life? If it does, it becomes a very weak, its bones doesn't develop right. Dear friend, the first thing you know begins to be brittle and they break and things begin to dissipate and fall apart. That's the way a child of God is. When we receive salvation, dear friend, hey, listen, that's a wonderful gift of God. Thank God we got it, dear friend. But hey, there's other things we must do to keep ourselves and to grow. You say, why do we need to grow? To withstand the fiery darts that Satan would throw at us. Do you know what? You know what most people know about this book I'm holding in my hand, which I'm referring to as God's truth? You know what? Most people, what they know about it, they know from what they've heard rather than what they've read and studied from themselves. Amen? Come on now, folks. Are you with me or not? Huh? He said, walk in God's truth. You say, yeah, but you preachers, y'all all the same, and said y'all always harping on reading your Bible, reading your Bible, reading your Bible. Well, how in the world can you do battle, dear friend, without your sword? Amen. Can I tell you something? When Satan had taken Jesus along in the wilderness, dear friend, he tempted him with everything you could think of. And what did Jesus do battle back with him against? He took the scriptures, dear friend. And can I tell you, if it worked, he set the master example for us right there. And if it worked for him, it'll work for you and I in today's society. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, pretty good verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How much Bible do you read? I read a statistic the other day that said the average American watches 6.5 hours of television every day. I thought that was wrong. I was sitting there. Had a legal pad out writing it down. Mary come by and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing down how much television I watch a day. So she stood there like only a wife can over my shoulder. And I said, what are you doing? She said, making sure you're being honest. Don't you hate it when they do that? And so I was writing those things down there and she said, hold a minute. I see you got Andy Griffith down there, but put Andy Griffith down twice. I said, why do I have to put it down twice? She said, because you watch that MeTV all the time and they play double segments of Andy Griffith back to back. You've watched so much of it, honey, you know what Winderpane Ernest T. Bass is going to knock out before he throws the rock. Man, I was putting those things down there and putting those things down there. Then she come by and she said, you know, I know. She said, I'm not getting on to you. She said, I know you was employed and you was a member of Bill Elliott's racing team for 3.5 years. I know that. You got racing in your blood, but you bet just go ahead and ride. I said, they only run a race one day out of the week. She said, that's right. She said, but you got ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and you just replay it 24 hours a day every time I come in. You've got it going on there. If it ain't racing, it's some kind of collegiate ball. If it ain't collegiate ball, it's some kind of professional ball. Put it down. I began to realize I mean, I didn't even take into consideration Fox News. Come on now. And all of a sudden, I began to realize I spend more time watching a television than I actually do a day reading God's Word. Hello? You say, well, not me. You might need to loosen up your halo there, because you're about to give me a headache, amen. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Randy? If we'd all be truthful, and how many of you know, you say, well, I watch TV preaching, I get the Word of God and TV preachers. Can I tell you something? I see some of them too, and they have some great television networks, dear friend, that's promoting and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can turn the channel, dear friend, and get what? I mean, it's amazing to me that if you was a new convert, not deep in the Word of God and not anchored and having a good base, you'd turn on one television and one preacher's preaching, dear friend, you're eternally secure in Christ Jesus. You can turn the next program on and all of a sudden he's preaching, you can lose what you got, dear friend. Hey, how do you know what to base your life on? It's like a new convert going to a Christian bookstore. I love the Christian bookstore, but that's the most dangerous place a new convert can go. You say, what do you mean? We get caught up, dear friend, reading authors' books. There's nothing wrong with writing a book. There's nothing wrong with reading a good book, but it becomes a problem when we replace, dear friend, the genuine Word of God, dear friend, with somebody else's book. Dear friend, why? Because those books are written by men and they insert their opinionologies, and their opinionology is not necessarily good theology, dear friend. It's their opinion of life. Want to keep from sliding? Chain yourself to that. Amen. Chain yourself to the Word of God. Refuse to walk off and leave it. You say, well, I just don't have time to read it. Well, you know, we make that excuse, but the truth is we make time for everything. Amen. Man, if we want to go fishing, you know what we'll do? We'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning if that means getting there before they go to biting. Amen. If we want to go hunting, guys, and we know, dear friend, that we got to get in there at dusk, dawn, you know what we'll be doing? We'll be walking down through there just praying we didn't forget our flashlight, because you know you're running the risk of brad your nose against the first pine tree as you go down through the forest. But the truth of the matter is, we'll do whatever it takes to get the winning buck. I wonder if we'd do what it really takes to get the winning buck in our communities. You say, what's that? To have somebody look at your life and say, I'll tell you something. I don't ever remember a time seeing them. I know they're not perfect, I know that. But I don't ever remember a time seeing them majorly just get out and slide away from God. They've always stayed with God. Word of God grounds us in that way. You say, is that all you got, Brother Randy? Oh, no. You need to walk in truth and then do something that a lot of people don't do today. Find you a church and fall in love with it. Amen. Amen. Do you know a lot of people today are looking for every reason to get out of church rather than the reason to get in church? I was flipping across the channel the other night and come across the Jimmy Swaggart Network, and I like that singing that's on there. That's how they've rebuilt the majority of what their following they got is through that good gospel music done in the right way. And I sat there and I was listening to that, and then all of a sudden it cut. It was telethon week, you know, and they went over to the telethon side and they was saying, for all of our multimedia members. And I looked at Mary and I said, what is that? She said, I don't know. And so I went online and I pulled them up. And they've started a church membership to where you can be a part of their church without being there, but you send your tithe as a part of having membership to their church because you're not there, but you're watching it on television. And I thought, that's as good as the devil would have. Man, listen, dear friend. Hey, if God had have intended for you and I to get what we needed to sustain us in our life off of television, he would have sent two across with Noah on the ark. You say, Brother Perry, they didn't have electricity back then. Well, Fred Flintstone had a bird in that frame. You say, what are you getting at? Listen, dear friend, we're to love the church. It breaks my heart, dear friend, to go to church after church after church, and you hear people talking more bad things about their church rather than talking about how good church is. Amen? What David say? Look what David says. He says, Lord, I've hated the congregation of the evildoers. So what's he saying in verse 8? In verse 8, he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Now think about that. Habitation, what's that mean? A habitat, that means that there is life-sustaining resources that are available in that place, dear friend, that will sustain life. That's what means having a habitat is. So what's he saying? He said, I've loved the habitation of thine house. Can I tell you something, dear? And I ain't talking about these walls. I'm not talking about the ceiling tile or the carpet, but I'm talking about the church as the body of God. Dear friend, listen, there is life sustaining resources there. You say, what are you talking about? I don't know about you, but there's been days in my life when I was discouraged, dear friend, and I could come to the house of God and somebody would get up that had been through a lot more stuff than what I'd been through, and they'd say, I just got to say a word for the Lord. And buddy, they would go to giving God praise in the middle of their adversity, in the middle of their trial, and before you know it, my heart had done been encouraged and lifted up and said, you know what? If they can make it by the grace of God, I'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. Whew. I just got glory bunts big enough you could take a sleigh ride off of. I love the habitation of thine house. I began to think back several years ago. My daddy died November 10, 2003. There was a time I didn't want to be around my dad. Because my dad was the type of guy that every time he seen you, first question out of his mouth, what you doing? Where you going? And if you didn't give him the right answers, he'd say, have you lost your mind? That's his favorite words, have you lost your mind? I thought evidently I was born without one. And so there was a period of my life that I didn't want to be around him. I didn't go around. Listen, if I knew he was home, I'd go the other way. Because not only was he always asking questions, but he always had a little detail he wanted me to do. It's sort of like traveling around with Billy Cashwell. You hear me? You say, well, what are you getting at? All of a sudden, one day he got sick and he was gone. You know what I caught myself doing? My dad always wore old Western hat. He wanted to be a cowboy, but he wasn't tall enough. Y'all ain't never seen a short cowboy. Come on now, let's just feel. I mean, he wore the Western boots. He wore the Western. I mean, his belt buckle looked like somebody stole a 56 Chevrolet hubcap and tied it on a piece of leather. He'd make Mama buy him those Western coats that had the arrows in it. Looked like he'd been shot by an Indian and lived to tell about it. Oh, I've got a great Indian friend that's probably listening to the broadcast. Salaw, I don't mean anything by that, all right? My dad always wore old Western Stetson hats. And the day before he got sick, or the evening before he got sick, he come in the house and he laid his hat off on the old coffee table. When he died, I got to missing him so bad that I went out there and I seen that old hat laying there and I picked that hat up. And you know, the dermatologist says every person has their own unique scent. And I began to smell around the brim of that hat, trying just to get the scent of where my daddy once was. Man, I want to tell you, I stood there, and if I've ever had God to convict me, He convicted me right there. He said, you see what you miss now, son? All of them days that you wanted out, away from His presence, and all He cared about doing was helping you make the right choices in life. But you thought you knew best. And now that He's gone, you want Him back. Can I tell you something? That's the same way it works with a life of a child of God that's slipped and slid away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something, hey, we all say, hey, I'm going to the ball games, I'm going fishing, I'm going hunting. All of a sudden you take those baby steps and you begin to slide. And then all of a sudden your life, dear friend, is void and it becomes vacant of the very essential things that you need to sustain you in life. And all of a sudden you begin to look around and you say, where'd He go? Where'd He go? It's quiet now, ain't it? You see, if we're going to be who we need to be, we need to fall in love with the church. He said, I love the habitation wherein thy honor dwelleth. Amen. I began to think about that passage of Scripture. Dear friend, I want to be where His honor dwells. And now listen, folks, I ain't got nothing against Walmart. I told Mary the other day, I said, when I die, bury me in the parking lot of Walmart. She said, have you lost your cotton picking mind? I said, no, at least you'll come see me 4 or 5 times a day. But can I tell you something? I don't have anything against Walmart, maybe other than the fact they put mom and pop stores out of business. But I shop there. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. I've never been in the aisle of Walmart very few times and been just overwhelmingly taken by the Spirit and presence of God. I've been overtaken by the price of a gallon of milk. Amen. And if you really want to get overtaken, go buy some Charmin toilet paper. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Randy? It's amazing to me, dear friend, how we run to the things of this world. And the Bible said a soul that's full will loweth the honey. What's that word loweth means? A little Greek word means have no appetite or desire for. The reason people get to where they don't have a desire for church and things of God is because they're filling up off the flesh pots of everything else this world, dear friend, has offered them, and they have no more room in their life for church. Now listen, I played ball all the way through school. I played football, I played baseball. Dear friend, I was a wrestler, and my mom and dad told me, said, you can do all of that stuff, but son, just nail this down and get it in your head right now. None of that comes before church. Now we've got parents, dear friend, who are living or reliving their lives through the life of their children. Amen. Oh, preacher, I can't come to revival. My kid's got ball practice. Oh, preacher, we can't come. My daughter's got dance recital. Oh, preacher, we listen, dear friend. And if you say anything, I used to didn't say a whole lot. But then I turned 50 years old. And they say after you turn 50, you can say anything you want to. And people just look at you and they say, oh, they're just senile. So I used to stand there and bite my tongue when people would come up to me and they'd say, Brother Perry, it's nothing against you, but our children got bald. We're not going to be here the rest of the week. And if you did say something, here's what you get back. Well, you know, Brother Perry, they just live one time. You know what I got to where I start? When they start that mess with me now, I just thought, just go ahead and put my hand up. Whoa, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. You're telling the wrong person. What? I said, you don't need to run that by me.
I'm not the one you're going to have to stand in front of one day and give an account of what you did with your life. Dear friend, after you receive salvation, you're going to have to stand and give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ, not Randy Perry. I said, hey, why don't you just look up there and tell him why you ain't coming to church? I mean, they're going to get galled at you one way or the other. You just might as well gall them good to start with. How much do you love Benson Grove Baptist Church? Do you know a lot of churches today have done away with having revivals? You know why? Because the pastor is tired of getting up and looking out, seeing an empty house. Now he knows, dear friend, because he's in front of the people week in and week out and week in and week out, and he knows a lot of the people's needs and what they need to suffice them in their life, and then they book a revival and pray that God will show up, and the very people, dear friend, who need the essential things of God find it to the place to where they say, I just can't go. I'm not going. You see, I've come to the conclusion of this. We support the things we believe in wholeheartedly. Amen. 2 years ago, my grandchildren were moved by their dad. We on the internet, they might be listening, so I got to be nice. To Albuquerque, New Mexico. Like to kill me. And I hurt so bad I wanted to kill him. I asked God to let me help him kill him. And if God didn't have time to kill him, I'd do it for him. I told Mary, I'd like to kill Mary. I told Mary, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, there's one thing Randy Perry ain't doing. I ain't going to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been there. When I was with the singing quartet, we used to sing twice a year there. Ain't nothing out there but desert scorpions and rattlesnakes. Regina Cashwell sent me a message through Mary Perry. Now, she didn't tell me, but I know you would have. But she sent a message through Mary Perry. She said, you tell Randy Perry to get over his cell and get on that airplane and go see them grandbabies. I told Mary Perry, I said, you tell Regina Caswell, mind her business for one time in her life, please. Did she tell you that? I know she wouldn't tell you that. She did, didn't she? And women stick together, don't they? But can I tell you something? After I got over the hurt and after I got over the anxiety, first thing I did, booked me an air flight. We were headed to Albuquerque. Man, I told her, I said, well, I'll go this one time just to show them that I'm a better person than what they are, because he had promised, you know, he wouldn't ever come back to Georgia. And if we seen the kids, we was going to have to pay to see them. And so we was booking our flight, going out there. I said, I'm going to go one time and I ain't never going back. Well, thank God for repentance. You say, Brother Randy, what pulled you to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico? I'll tell you what pulled me, was my heart. It was what was in my heart. That's my blood out there. My daughter's out there. Them grandbabies are out there. And I got a son-in-law who is lost that God has revealed to me, hey, that it just might be my prayers that lead him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, what he needed to see instead of somebody anguished, dear friend, what he needed to see, somebody full of compassion and love and reaching through with grace and bestowing something that he don't know anything about in his life. Man, can I tell you, if we're not going to slide and stay where we need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to find a reason to stay in the church. If you're part of the bride of Christ, dear friend, hey, that's your blood. That's your relationship. That's your kinfolk. You ought to have every reason to stay in and no excuse to stay out of the house of God. I got to quit. Eddie ain't here to say, hurry along, little brother, hurry along. You say, is that all I got to do? Make sure I'm saved? Read my Bible and walk in God's truth? Find me a church and fall in love with the church? Be faithful. Do you know how hard it is to get people to be faithful to the house of God today? About a month ago, we was running a revival. A preacher said, I'll pick you up in the morning. I want to go visiting. I said, man, I'm great. That's great. What time are we leaving? He said, we leave about 7:45. I said, okay, good. I was standing out there. Let me tell you something. If you ever have to do this, don't do this. I was out there. Mary had cut up some watermelon and put it in the refrigerator. And I like coffee. So I got up that morning and I fixed me a cup of black coffee and put sugar in it because that's what I like. And then I looked in the refrigerator and there was that big old bowl of watermelon. And I thought, shoot, I'm going to have me some watermelon too. And so I reached there and got me about 1/4 of a piece of watermelon. So I walked outside the bus because she gets all over me, I drip stuff. And so I was standing outside when the preacher stood up, pulled up, and I was drinking a cup of coffee and eating watermelon. Now, I want to tell y'all something. About 30 minutes into our first visitation, well, y'all got the point. Don't do that if you go on visitation. But you know what? I was amazed. We left at 7:45, didn't get back. He brought me back to the bus at 4:15, and I had to preach that night. I wanted to kill him and tell God he died. How do you expect the preacher to be ready when you haul him around like that? But you know what got me that day? We did not visit one non-church member. We spent an entire day going by his own church members' houses and places of employment to remind them that they had church or revival was going on this week. I got back to the bus. Mary said, did y'all win anybody to the Lord? I said, are you kidding? She said, was that good? I said, you know what we did, baby? The only thing we did is went through his community and places of employment and places where he knew he could go talk to people and remind his own church people they supposed to have church. But here's a fact. And maybe Benson Grove's different than this. I pray it is. But most pastors wear themselves out chasing their own church members. Hello. Some people got to be petted and pampered or they won't come to church. Amen. Well, I had a crown replaced last week and the preacher didn't come see me. So I ain't going to church this Sunday. If he can't come see me when I got my crown, come on. What you going to do when your hemorrhoids flare up? Got to have a little age on you to know what I'm talking about right there. Am I preaching truth? Amen. You see, the fact of the matter is, when Brother Barry was talking about getting saved when he was 12 years old, I got saved when I was 8. And I'm going to tell you something. I love church. Man, I want to tell you, when you invited me and said, hey, we're going to have a singing in here, and you don't have to come if you don't want to, Brother Rand, that's fine. Listen, folks, I told Brother Billy, I said, I'll be there. I said, I'm going to come in and listen. Some people, the only time they'll go to church is if they're doing something, if they're involved, if they're the preacher preaching, or if they're the singer that's singing, dear friend. And if they're not, you can't find them with a search warrant. Shame on us. You know why I came in here last night? I enjoy listening to good singing, but the truth of the matter is, dear friend, I wanted to be fed. My soul, dear friend, was hungry. Hey, listen, I enjoyed Brother Donnie. He was used to say it somewhere. I don't know where he's at now. But I enjoyed the barbecue and all of that stuff. But the truth of the matter, my soul needed filling, and I needed that. But then when old Craig and them boys got up there and they got to singing through it all, the sweet Holy Ghost of God, dear friend, started showing up and made residence in my heart, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, son, I don't care how rough it gets, I'm for you and I'm standing with you. I'm going to tell you, I could have shouted off the rooftop. Amen. Why?
Hallelujah.
I didn't have to be the one singing. This is my Father's house.
Amen.
And I love to get into his presence. Let me say this in closing. You're going to stay right and stand on a good base foundation. You better spend a whole lot of time in prayer.